Joining us today on the Reverse Stick, we're very pleased to have the head coach of the Japanese men's international team, Mr. Ziggy Eichmann.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, sir. An absolute pleasure to have you on board today. It's a very busy time for you there in Japan hockey, and I know that we've managed to catch it in between training sessions. But as always on the Reverse Stick, we'll get to what you're doing now, but we'd love to find out your hockey history and where did it all start for you?
Oh, that's a long story. It started in 1971 when I came to Holland. I'm originally from Suriname. Suriname used to be a colony of Holland, and so I went to Holland for my high school. And there I had an English teacher who said, I know a sport which will suit you, and that was hockey. And by coincidence, I ended up on the hockey pitch.
And so that was starting out at school? Were you involved with a club at a young age in Holland?
At a club in Holland, we don't have school hockey. So it was a club, a small club in Amsterdam. And it was called, it was the Dutch YMCA hockey club.
And then you played for that club for a while, but I understand you took up coaching at quite an early age.
Yes, I played for that club. I only played for that club, and I played until my 24th year, and I picked up coaching there when I was 14 years.
And take us through those coaching steps then. What was the first team that you coached?
I coached the 6 years old who started playing hockey. So I start to teach them the basics of hockey. They play 3-on-3, then later 6-on-6. And so I went through actually all the development teams and all the youth teams, and I ended up coaching the under-18s from our club. And because I couldn't do the seniors, because I played myself in that time. And so I did many junior teams at our club.
Ziggy, was coaching something that you that came naturally and just fell into your lap, or was it something that you thought, I want to do this, and you chased it?
No, I didn't chase it. It came on my path, and I enjoyed it. And actually, I'm a people's person, so I always was busy with other people. I'm very interested in people, in their behavior, in the reason why they do things and how they do things and how they can do it better. So on a very young age, I was already doing those kinds of things. And that's one of the reasons that people ask me to start coaching. And doing that, yes, it just got me. And I wanted to do it, and I had a lot of fun. My life was basically on the hockey pitch. All my free time was on the hockey pitch.
Ziggy, do you think that part of you is a natural teacher? Or do you think that, you know, hockey's what you're teaching now, but if you perhaps hadn't have gone into hockey, that you might be teaching something else?
Yes, I'm sure about that. I'm not only teaching hockey, I'm also an executive coach for businessmen. So in Holland, one of my jobs was coaching board of directors with about strategic coaching, strategic stuff. So I'm not only busy with, I was not only busy with sports, but also I'm a master in strategic business management, and that has my interest too.
At what stage, Ziggy, did you think, well, this coaching gig could actually be a proper job?
Well, that was at a very, very late age, actually, because I always was, hockey was always my hobby, and it was more or less a part-time job. And when I joined Japan in 2009 for the first time, then it was also the first time that it was my full-time job.
Wow.
So before that, I never wanted to be a full-time hockey coach, because I think that it's important to be connected with the other part of society, and understand what's going on in the country or in the world, and the combination of business, of people management, of knowledge on other tracks than sports, I think it's very beneficial for a coach, and it helps players to, it helped me as a coach to grow players, not only in hockey, but also in their mental setup, in their career, in their life. A lifestyle coaching is also part of it, because I'm very interested in people, as I said before, and that's my drive.
Now, along that journey with coaching, you're also an FIH coach educator. Could you tell the listeners what that involves and how that came about?
Yes, in, let me see, in 2001, I started an FIH course in Rotterdam. No, yes, in year 2000, I started an FIH coach in Rotterdam. And Richard Eggers was conducting. He was the educator then from Australia. And so I went into the FIH coaching process. They asked me to do some Olympic solidarity courses. And then I enjoyed the coaching courses, doing the coaching courses for FIH. At a later stage, they had educators courses, and I'm also an educator trainer. That means that I can coach and teach educators. And so I came into the in the coach education worldwide. But before that, I was already a coach educator in Holland, where I was allowed to educate all levels of the Dutch system.
Now, whilst we're on the Dutch system, you had some success as a coach domestically there. You were with Den Bosch women's team?
Yes, and with HGC's women's team. And we won the Dutch championship, the European Cup, and the European championship with those teams. I also did many state teams, which also won the Dutch national state title. So there were domestic successes. But it's all about developing players, developing people to grow, to get the max out of what they want. That's more interesting than the results, which if it goes well, it reflects on the results, of course. But the main objective is that people learn that they can reach the max of what they want to do, and actually, they do it themselves. It's not something that I do, but I support, I facilitate, I challenge them, and I hope that they can grow doing that what they really want to do and achieving that what they really want to do. For me, it's very important that players desire to do something, and if they desire it, they will find a way to make it happen. And sometimes I can help them on that journey.
Siggy, obviously, Dutch hockey is revered around the world, and the system is revered. What do you think are the big reasons why hockey works in the Netherlands?
One of the, well, it has many reasons, but one of the reasons is an excellent program, coaching structure from the KNHB, that's the Dutch Hockey Association. And because of the good coaching structure, there are many coaches on every level who are educated well, have the same background, have a lot of knowledge, and they invest a lot in that. So there's a lot of exchange of knowledge in between the coaches. There are competitions for, as I said, for 6 years old, for 9 years old, for under 21, under 12 years, under 14, under 16, under 18. We don't have a competition under 21, but we have many competitions, and not only for one teams, but clubs have maybe 20 or 40 teams, and they are all participating in leagues. So there's a huge structure of teams who are involved in hockey, and all those teams have to be coached by people who are educated and who have hockey knowledge. So hockey is a family thing. Many people come to hockey for family business. They meet each other, they have fun, and they can play at each level. At the club, you can play at development level, but also on high performance level. And there's no high performance without development, and the other way around as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We fully agree with that and endorse it on the show. So where does the leap come from to then get involved in coaching at an international level?
Well, it happened coincidentally. It started with me doing courses all over the world, and then I was asked to act as coaching consultants for countries, which meant that I was helping the national head coaches by coaching the teams and sharing the knowledge with the head coaches in developing countries. And yes, so it went on, and I really enjoyed it. But actually, my desire to do this came because I had the opportunity to go to Japan, and Japan was a country I have always dreamt of to work in and to experience the Japanese culture. So when that came around, I quit my job, my office job, and that's the first time I did for hockey.
And that was back in 2009.
Yes, it was back in 2009, and at that moment everybody said, why are you doing this? You must be mad, because I had a good job with a job that suits me, with lots of perspective, and I had a senior management role. So it was strange to give it up all for hockey, which was very insecure, of course, because in sports, you are a hero and so you are a zero. It just insult. And you are as good as your last match. So there are no guarantees. And to go into a step like that was a kind of suicide, some people said. But it was my passion, and I just followed my passion, and I never regret it.
Well, I mean, it's a bold move to go and do it in a country such as Japan as well. How did you get on culturally when you first got there?
Well, it was a cultural shock on one hand, and on the other hand, not really, because I read a lot about Japan, and I have a lot of interest in culture and in people, and I had, through all my experiences in all the other continents, I've been to Africa many times, I've been to the eastern part of Europe, I've been to USA, wherever, to Asia as well. So I had many experiences with other cultures, and it always went smoothly, so I was convinced that I could do it here as well. But Japanese are unique, and it took me a little while to understand the Japanese culture. And actually, in this second term I have a lot of benefits from my first term, because I learned a lot about the Japanese culture and how people behave, and why the reasons why they are doing things, why they are not doing things. And it benefits me now in the fact that I can be more specific, and I can be more helpful for players and support them more in what they really want, because I understand them a little better.
Ziggy, how do you cope with the language? Is it something you've got your handle on now?
Well, no. I have a translator, and I try to do my level best to understand, but it's a difficult language. It's a phonetic language. It's very hard for me to learn. It's also because I'm a little old, and that makes it a little harder, because when I was younger, I could adapt foreign languages more easier. But, and the fact that I have a translator doesn't challenge me to do everything to learn the language. But the other hand, with the translator, it works well. He understands me, I understand him. We have a lot of contact together, and we manage. But of course, it would be much better if I could speak the language fluently, but that isn't the fact.
Well, Ziggy, you mentioned that you're only as good as your last result, and your last result was a pretty good one, as it turns out. I mean, that's been a long journey for you though there with Japan. What are some of the difficulties you've had to overcome to bring Japan forward as a strong nation in hockey?
Well, the Japanese players are always very skillful. They are very fast. They are agile, but the technical knowledge and also the knowledge of modern hockey, they lack that knowledge and they lack the experience. Hockey is also a sport which develops very fast. It changes continuously. That means that if you are not in the opportunity to play against the best teams, you will never have that experience. And when you play them, they will kill you because they are much better. And what we try to do, we try to play many matches against all the top teams, learn from them. We had some massive defeats, even in the Asian Games. But we learn from that, we adapt, we try to improve our play continuously. That's also one of the things which is very important for me, that when we are on the pitch, we want to be better than the day before. And that works very well in Japan, because Japanese are always busy with improving what they are doing. That's where quality management systems, which we use in business all over the world, like the Deming Circle, the Lean method, it all originate in Japan, where they are always busy with improving. Like Toyota has the Kaizen. It's a way of trying to improve step by step what you are doing, so that you can make a perfect product. Well, if that's the basic attitude, it's very easy to teach, to learn, because they are eager for knowledge, they want to improve, and they do their level best to get there. And that helped me a lot, and because I understood how it worked, I could also support them more in their learning needs. And that helped, and together with the experience and all the matches we played, we were able to make big steps.
It strikes me as well, Ziggy, that the Japanese teams, both men and women, seem to work really hard as well. It's not just about skill, it's about how much effort they're prepared to put in on the field.
That's true. Success never comes by like with magic. It's always sweat, it's determination, it's passion, and it's for us, it's never give up mentality, and what we call here Yamato Damashi, that's fighting spirit. For your country, from your heart, that you will do everything to succeed. And that's what you see. They never give up. They work hard. They keep focused. And that's very, very important. So only when you work hard, we practiced the whole summer when it was 40 degrees in the shadow. We practiced twice a day, 4 hours a day in the heat, because we would play in Jakarta in the heat, and we keep telling ourselves it's not hot, it's convenient, it's comfortable. And when we were there, we never complained about weather, about the circumstances, because we were used to it. For us, it was nice weather, and we were able to deliver because we were used to all the things you could overcome there. And it's that determination and focus which helps us to grow.
Now, your team's been recently involved in Australia at the top end in Darwin, and prior to that, yes. John made reference to that remarkable 6-6 draw and subsequent shootout win against Malaysia in the Asian Games final. I also see that Sultan of Johor Cup games and results are going really well for Japan at the moment too, with wins against Australia and Great Britain and a draw against New Zealand. There's obviously a good, talented pool that you've got there. Where do you find the players, and how are you picking them? What's the system in Japan?
Well, Japan has a school system, so we don't have a club structure here. So players are hockey is introduced at the schools. They play at elementary schools. A few elementary schools have hockey. then on junior high school, senior high school, and they play six aside until they go to senior high school. That means that they play on a quarter pitch and they play, they have many ball contacts, they have to be skillful, they have to make their decisions quickly. So, in the setup, they learn a lot, and the players, they really love hockey. So they are very eager to teach themselves and to learn and to invest in new things. So everything they see, they try. And that's the good part, because of that they are very skillful. What they see, they can do. Why? Because they just practiced it many, many times. And through that structure, when they go to the universities, then they, and also at the senior high schools, then they start to play 11 against 11. And there are many competitions in Japan where they can participate and they compete with each other. So that's how it starts.
And then the next level for those guys, is there, you know, a kind of a state championships or something like that, where the selectors can cast an eye over them, or are they, or are good players fast tracked?
They are, their coaches endorse them for the national team, and if the coaches endorse them, they can join the national team camp, or they can come to a draft. So if someone believes that he's good, he can just join the selection days, the open selection days, and if they are good, they are, we will pick them. What I try to do is to select not only on hockey skills and on speed and agility, but also on mental things like fighting spirit, dealing with disappointments, decision making, their willingness or ability to sacrifice themselves for others. Because it's nice that you do things on your own very well, but if you don't do it for others, you're useless in high performance sports. So I try to add those things that we select on a different way, and we bring that together.
So once they're into the system and they're in the national program, what does that look like for a player? How often do you get together? Where do they stay? What sort of things happen?
Yes, when they get in the national team, we try to do 2 weeks in a month. We try to have camp. That means that we have 8 days camps in a month. That's from Monday afternoon till Friday morning, to the end of Friday morning. And then we stay together. We practice twice a day. We have a meeting in the evening. We talk a lot of hockey. We eat hockey. We drink hockey. We are together. And then they go back to their, and in the weekends they are free. They go to their clubs, they play, or the universities, or wherever they are. They work. And the other days they work. And no one is a full professional here. But everyone works, or most of the players work. And if their company has a hockey team, or if there's a hockey team from different companies together, then they play for that team. And if that team team participates in leagues, and they also have a state team, and so there are many competitions in which they participate.
So what's the next step now for the Japan men's national team? There's a couple of tournaments coming up, I believe.
Yes, well, our main aim is, of course, Tokyo Olympics. So, like, we went to Darwin with 6-7 different players than at the Asian Games. We brought some youngsters from mainly 18 years, a few from 20 years. And two of them are now at the Johobari Cup. Two will join us again in Oman, where we play the Asian Champions Trophy, and we will bring again, compared to the Asian Games, 6 new players. And we want to increase our group of players about till 32. And from that group, we will pick the 18 for the Tokyo Olympics at the end. So we will create more competition, more players involved. That means that there is more competition, and we will try to play a lot of matches against the higher ranked teams so that we keep our playing experience, that we can adapt what's new in the world, and that we are able to deal with all circumstances. And of course, we will work out our strategy and about what we want to do, because at the Tokyo Olympics, our aim is just like the Asian Games, to make it to the semifinals, and from there we will see what will happen. It's not an easy one, and it's a dream. It's not that we bluff or we say this is what we want to do, we'll do, but it's what we want to do. And I strongly believe that if you can dream it, you can do it.
Ziggy, how important was the victory in the Asian Games in terms of being able to say to your team, you are now going to the Olympics, you've qualified, you deserve your place there, you're not just the host nation, and that you know, you are amongst that elite of the hockey world now?
Yeah, well, that was our target for the Asian Games. We wanted to win because we wanted to qualify on our own. And we want to deserve to be there, and not because we are the home country. And why? Because then you would be, hockey in Japan would be taken seriously, and that's important. As we are a developing country, in Japan, most of the attention and everything is based on the female who played many Olympic games.
Yeah.
Did well, do well at world championships, they are higher ranked. So it's logical that they have more credits and a higher priority. We had to deserve that. And therefore, we really wanted to do well at the Asian Games, because there we could show what we have learned, how we grew. And if we would do well, then there is a possibility that we will get more support from GOC, we can be taken more seriously by the media. So hockey would have the possibility to grow, and it would give my players also a boost that they did it on their own. And fortunately, we were able to do it, because as I said before, we had a dream, but dreams not always come true. But at least you need to have the dream to achieve something. If you have no dream, you will never achieve something. So for us, this was important.
Sorry, I was just about to say, what we always want to see is the after success stories and gold medals being won, is that there's some transfer through to the grassroots level. Do you see anything happening in Japan with a better interest or a bigger interest for people to get involved with the game?
Well, what we see is that the media have discovered men's hockey. And that means that my players, they were in interviews, they were in newspapers, they were presented to our head sponsor, which wasn't done before, because it was all about the ladies, because they were potential winners from tournaments. We were not. And now we are, so we are more taken more seriously, and through that, at the end, there will be a more positive effect. We can also see that when we come and we meet the hockey people, the hockey people in Japan are very proud, and they are very happy with the success, and that makes, it creates more energy. And that energy will, at the end, deliver results and will help hockey in Japan to grow and become more successful. I'm convinced about that, but it has to start somewhere, and our job is to market this very well. So we need to show ourselves in the country, we need to share what we have done, and that's why also one of the reasons why I do this interview, because it's very interesting for us to be on wire, to be that people are talking about us.
How do you go in Japan, Ziggy? I mean, I'm looking at your profile photo, and you're not going to be able to hide in a crowd in Japan, I wouldn't imagine. Do you get much notice?
I can never hide wherever I come, but I'm not a hider. So, I go well. I enjoy my stay in Japan. I love the country. I love the way people live here. And yes, I'm different than the others here. So, people see me, they react, but Japanese are very modest. So they will never approach you. And in that case, there's also a lot of privacy. They allow you your privacy. So that's good. So I have a good time here.
Ziggy, just before we let you go, and this is something I find quite interesting is, sorry, I'm being told to change the direction on the microphone. Excuse me. Just before we let you go, Ziggy, I've read some interesting comments that you've made with regard to foreign coaches in Asian countries. Now, of course, you are a foreign coach in an Asian country. Could you share of your thoughts on that with us, please?
Yes, well, I think that coaches should be, that the main aim for coaches should be that they educate other coaches, that they make sure that the country they when they leave, there should be a legacy. And the legacy should be that the Asian countries will be able to do it themselves. But most of the Asian countries lack a coaching structure, so I think that we as foreign coaches have the duty to share our knowledge with everyone and to make sure that people are we have to enable them to do it themselves. So for instance, for me, I have two assistant coaches, and my strong wish is, and that's also part of our deal, that after Tokyo Olympics, they will be the next head coaches of Japan. And that they develop, they learn how to do it, they can see what we do, but not only see, but also teach them the reasons why, because copying is not the best part. But understanding why and how and when and where, and those are the things which matters. So the more they understand, the better they can become. And of course, they are able to communicate much better with the local players. So it benefits everything. And I think that that's one of the things we as foreign coaches have to do. And to do that, we have to spend lots of time in understanding the local culture and always willing to learn about the local culture to make things happen. If we don't have that, we'll never able to bridge what we want.
Oh, that's fantastic, Ziggy. Look, one more from me, and on the reverse stick here, we're on a mission to make a change to the game, and we'd like to bring back the bully. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on it.
No, I don't want to bring back the bully because I don't see the benefit of bringing back the bully. On the other hand, I have never thought about it, and while saying this, it might be interesting because it's again a thing you can win. So the game will start with something you win. I've been coaching floorball in our uni hockey, and there they start with face-offs, and it's always an exciting moment who will win and who will be able to get ball possession and to play. So I can imagine that you would like to do it because it's an exciting moment, and hockey needs exciting moments, and that's for instance a reason that I would never ever change the penalty corner. I would never allow anyone to kill the penalty corner because it's one of the great moments we have in hockey. When there's a penalty corner, the whole stadium is quiet, but because something is going to happen. And that's what sports is about. If there is in soccer a free hit on the top 16, around the top 16, everybody expects that something will happen. And they don't stop it. Of course not, because that's one of the unique selling points. And I think we should, as hockey, we should also create our unique selling points and be very proud of those.
Well, I think we've just won you over to bring in back the bully, which is fantastic. And any other major change you want to make?
Well, I would like that we play more on dangerous play and have less rules, so that it will be a more fluid game. Because still we wrestle too much, and it's hard, difficult to understand. So the more we can play on, the better it will be. And dangerous play is for me very important, because hockey, the ball, you have a weapon in your hands with the stick, and the ball is very hard. So if we can control the danger, then, and for me, the rest is play on.
Fantastic.
Interesting thoughts.
It's been an absolute delight to have you join us on the show today, Ziggy. We know that you've got to get back out onto the field, and we wish you and the Japanese boys every success, particularly in Oman. So you're flying this weekend?
Yes, tomorrow.
Fantastic. We wish you the best of luck, and we hope to speak to you again.
Okay.
Cheers, Ziggy.
Who knows? Thank you. See you. Bye-bye.